Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the 1948 classic film, The Treasure of Sierra Madre, adopted from the 1927 book of the same name, three American gold prospectors, played by Humphrey Bogart, Walter Houston, and Tim Holt, are confronted by a group of heavily armed banditos in a remote area of Mexico's Sierra Madre Mountains. The leader of the banditos, known as Gold Hat, played by Alfonso Bedoya, tells the prospectors, "We are federales, you know, the mounted police." Well, the character played by Bogart says somewhat skeptically, "If you are the police, where are your badges?" Well, what follows is a quote that has been similarly used in other cinematic efforts since, usually in comedies. Gold Hat sneeringly responds, "Badges? We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you stinking badges." A police officer's badge is a symbol of the authority that has been invested in him or her to uphold the law of the land, to maintain order, to provide for the public's safety, and to help those who are in danger and distress. Their authority is to be respected, as is the city, the county, or the state that they represent. So too, there are federal agents who have been given special authority, and they too have badges that are an indication of the authority that they are given for the common good on a national level. Certainly, we are called to respect that authority, even as we should expect those who are in authority who represent that authority or to exercise that authority equally and justly. In the fourth commandment, which is honor your father and your mother, Luther, in his meaning to this commandment, teaches us we should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents or other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. A few weeks ago, St. Paul's letter to the Romans served as our epistle reading, and from there Paul put forth, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." Sometimes that leaves us scratching our head because we wonder about certain authorities. Of course, we must also understand that there are many who do not govern or who do not use their vested authority justly, but use it for personal gain at the expense of the governed, those they are to protect. This is an unfortunate result of living in a sinful and broken world. Our text for this morning has Holy Week as its setting. The day is most likely Holy Tuesday. This is just a couple of days following Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem on a donkey, on the coat, a foal of a donkey, on the day that we refer to as Palm Sunday. Thereafter, Jesus cleansed the temple, putting forth that it was written, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers." Here too is an apparent abuse of authority by the religious leaders of that day. So Jesus drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons for sacrifice. Yet therein he also healed the blind and the lame, and the people called out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." He was teaching with great authority. Yet the chief priest and the scribes were indignant, even though they had seen the wonderful things that he did and had no doubt heard the things that he was teaching, which manifested his authority. This brings us to our text for today from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Here again, the Gospel reading. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I'll also ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." This is the gospel of the Lord, and this is our text, and we consider this text under the theme, a question of authority. The chief priests and the elders of the people approach Jesus as he's teaching in the temple. First of all, they don't like what he's teaching. They don't like what he's been doing. And they ask, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Actually, it could be said of them that seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Because if they were truly seeing and truly listening and hearing not only with their minds but their hearts, they would understand where his authority came from. Accordingly, the very signs themselves should have been an indication to them of the authority that Jesus possessed. It seemed that others understood that Jesus was one who possessed authority, for his very preaching was being done with power, and the people, the common folk, marveled at how he preached and taught with great authority. The various healings that Jesus did in the sight of many were also signs, badges, if you will, of the authority by which Jesus was actively using to point them to the greater authority. The greater authority that he had to grant forgiveness and also give life. The raising of Lazarus from the dead in Bethany was a case in point, clearly showing Jesus' divine nature, even as a response by the council to put an end to the things that Jesus was doing in order to preserve the power that they had, was obviously a rejection of his authority. It was a rejection of his very person and work. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." In other words, their place and their power. They did not recognize that Jesus was more than just a man. The sign should have made that crystal clear, but they were blinded by their own ambition. They were blinded by their own pursuit of power and the preservation of the authority that they had. So they plot to have Jesus done away with. Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, had put forward, "You know nothing at all, do you? Nor do you understand that it is better for you that one should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He was prophetic, wasn't he? We should not be surprised that the authority of Jesus is questioned, not just by the chief priests and elders of his day, but also questioned by many, and maybe even better said, by all, even today, among those on this side of his resurrection. And if we use the term all, we need to include ourselves. As Jesus reminded the Pharisees of the great commandment in the law, "You should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, we regularly confess that we fail to do this. And so we resist his authority in our lives as well. Jesus also pointed out that there is a second commandment like the first. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So too we confess that we put ourselves ahead of our neighbors. We put ourselves ahead of others at their expense. So the law brings to light that we resist the authority of Jesus. Yet as the law shows us our sins, Jesus gave authority to his disciples and therefore to his church to forgive sins. The church vests that authority in his called pastors, who in the stead and by the command of Jesus forgives the sins we commit against both God and our neighbor. That's the authority, the office of the keys, that the Lord has given to you as his people, as his church, so that the gospel might be proclaimed in all of its truth and purity. Yet there are those who question this authority of the church, though that is what we are all called to do, to share the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. As Jesus' disciples gathered at the mountain he had directed them to go to in Galilee after his resurrection, he came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he says, therefore go. But in between that, basically what he's saying is, now I'm giving it to you. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And then he gave this great promise. Lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. His authority had been given to him, and now he's given that authority to his church that he might be proclaimed as the source of our salvation. All authority had been given to Jesus to use for the sake of revealing himself as the Messiah, the promised one, the one promised from of old through whom all the nations of the world would be blessed. He used the authority given to him humbly, without abuse, and at times he hid his divinity. He hid his power behind his humanity. He ultimately did this as he gave himself into death, death on the cross for us all. The benefits of his self-offering come to us through the authority that he has given to his church, by the word read and preached, by the absolution given in his stead and by his command, in holy baptism and in holy communion, as he commanded us to do. These are the marks or the badges of the church, which grant good news for Christ's sake. Jesus answered the question posed by the chief priest and the elders of the people by asking them a question. Jesus answered them, I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where did it come from? From heaven or from man? By not answering their question, Jesus was using his power and his authority. He really didn't need to answer their question. This is the power and authority his distractors did not and do not have today. Jesus has the authority because he is above them, having come from the Father, having come from above full of grace and truth. Ultimately, as the chief priests and elders apparently get their way by having him crucified by the Roman authorities, Jesus demonstrated his ultimate power through that cross and by rising from the dead. It's in his resurrection that his power and his authority is confirmed. He did this for you and for me, and he did this for all. His victory over death and the grave is the answer to any who question his authority. It is the answer for you who are sometimes slow to accept his authority in your lives or who doubt it. Nevertheless, what the chief priest and elders of the people would not accept and ultimately answered Jesus about John's baptism by saying, "We do not know," has been made known to you and to me through the means of grace, word and sacrament, the authoritative proclamation, and the distribution of the good news of salvation found in no one else but Jesus. Later, St. Peter, standing before the same council, said this, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Amen. May this peace of God, which transcends our human understanding, may it guard our hearts and guard our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.